God bless you, and welcome to Expanding Your Mind with the Word of God. My name is Samuel Cedillos, and I am the host of this program. I am recording from the city of Los Angeles, California. For those who have never heard of this program is dedicated to the glory and honor of God, to be able to bring His Word of Salvation to those who do not know Him, and also to learn more about Him. In this program, we are going to review things from the Bible, trying to explain it in the simple way to be able to understand more easily. Apart from learning from the Bible, my desire is to be able to listen to testimonies of what God is doing on this day in the life of the believers. Now, this is episode number 8, season number 2, titled The Millennium. The version of the Bible that I use most frequently is the New King James. I ask you to follow me when I give the scriptures, and I ask you to come and learn with me from the Word of God. As always, I want to thank God for giving me the opportunity to do this program for His glory and for His honor. I also invite you to read the text as I read them, and then go back and reread the scripture that is given, because the wonderful thing about God is that He could reveal to you through His Holy Spirit something even deeper than the text and what I mentioned. In all truth, I barely covered the large details, but there are so many mysteries and hidden treasures in the Word of God. I'm only thus on whom God has had mercy on, but I thank God for His great love and great kindness that He has towards me. May this program be for the honor and the glory of God. May His name be exalted in every language, nation, and in every place. Now without delay, let us pray that the Lord guide us and teach us according to His word. Blessed God of glory, we come before You on this day giving You thanks because You have just let us live another day. Lord, we ask that You forgive us any of our sins, our offenses, any transgressions we have done against You, and please forgive any way we have failed You. My God, the time has come to study Your word. I am here. Take control today and speak to us the way that You want. I put this episode in Your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let us begin. In the last episode, we saw the second coming of Christ, and His second coming, we saw how He defeated the Antichrist and the false prophet. And when He defeats them, the millennium begins. But we have to ask, what is the millennium? Well, a millennium refers to a time of 1,000 years. But why is this so special? Because the millennium to which we are referring to is 1,000 years that Jesus Christ will reign on earth after the Great Tribulation. Now, this does not mean that Jesus Christ is going to reign for only 1,000 years and then His reign will end. It does not mean that in any way. But the 1,000 years are before the judgment before the great white throne, which is what we're going to cover in the next episode. But what will be the first thing that will happen in the millennium? For that, we go to the book of Revelation chapter 20 and the first 3 verses, and I am going to read them to you. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound them for 1,000 years. And he cast them into the bottomless pit and shut them up, and set a seal on him so that he could deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So the first thing that will happen is that Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. In other words, Satan is not going to be free during the millennium. And if he is tied up, I imagine that all demons will also be tied up like him. I say this because Satan was thrown into the abyss and locked away, and he will not have the power to do anything. You know, interestingly enough, the Bible doesn't really tell us what happened to the demons, but I'm just thinking and speculating about the possibilities. Although Satan is bound, after 1,000 years, he will be released for a little while. It's also possible that the same time that Satan will be released in the future, The same demons that serve Satan will also be released with him. But what does the Bible tell us? What else does the Bible tell us about the reign of Christ? Well, the Bible tells us that the kingdom cannot be destroyed. In the book of Daniel, and I might butcher the name, so I'm just going to tell you, sorry, right away. Now, in the book of Daniel, when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of the statues, he talks about the different kingdoms that were to come. And he talks about how in the last empire that there will be, God will raise up an empire like no other. And in Daniel 2:44, it says, "And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." And in Daniel 7:27, it also tells us that all dominions will serve and obey him. Now, we gotta ask, from where will Christ reign? In other words, where will his headquarters be, or the place where he will be living? Now, the place from where Christ will reign will be from the city of Jerusalem. I'm just gonna let you know, in this episode, we're going to cover a lot of scripture. Now, in Zechariah 8:3 says, "Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." You see, when Christ returned and his feet touched the holy mountain, the mountain separates to the east and to the west and to the north and to the south, and this causes there to be a big, great space. And I imagine that all the great space is right around Jerusalem. Because you see, we see here in Zechariah 14, verse 8 to 11, it tells us, "And in that day it shall be that the living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them towards the eastern sea and half of them towards the western sea. And both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one and his name is one. All the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and the corner gate and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. The people shall dwell in it, and no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited." Here we see that the place around Jerusalem, and maybe even the entire earth, will be like a flat surface. The only place that will be exalted will be the area of Jerusalem. Because in Micah 4:1 it says, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days, then the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it." In Zechariah 9:10 it says, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. There will be peace throughout Israel, and there will be no need to have weapons of war." But we have to ask, what's going to happen to us? Well, one thing pretty clear is that the Bible tells us that we're going to reign with Christ. We must also understand that it won't just be us, the redeemed, who will be there, but also the Jews who accepted Jesus Christ. For this reason, in Matthew 19:28, it says, "So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, the regeneration is speaking of the millennium. The 12 disciples are going to sit on 12 thrones to judge the tribes of Israel. And I imagine that instead of Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, I imagine that the Apostle Paul will be the one who will take his place on the 12 thrones. Now, in Revelation 24, it says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. You see, the thing is, this already includes us. Those who wash yourself in the blood of Jesus and try to live a life set apart in holiness for him. You know, all of this makes me understand that there will be other people. In other words, it makes me understand that there will also be nations in those days. Because we have to remember that not the entire world was destroyed. So that means there are people who are still alive. And I'm pretty sure that when the Antichrist got up to rise against Christ, that not everybody was able to go to battle. Either they were too far away or didn't have, I don't know. I just thinking of the possibilities. But the Bible does tell us there will be different nations. For example, in the book of Isaiah, it tells us about the reign of the Messiah, and it mentions some nations. Now, in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11 to 16, it says, "It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his land again in the second time to recover the remnant of his people who are left from Assyria and Egypt, from Patros and Cush, from Elam and Shinar, from Hamath and the islands of the sea. He will set up a banner for the nations and will assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth." You see, this makes me understand that there will be still people from Israel coming from different nations, and they will come inhabit the land of Israel, which was promised to them from God, because that what God promised to Abraham, that his descendant will have the promised land. Now, let's keep reading. Verse 13. "Also the envy of Ephraim shall depart. Band the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not harass Ephraim. But they shall fly down upon the shoulder of the Philistines toward the west. Together they shall plunder the people of the east. They shall lay their hand on Edom and Moab, and the people of Ammon shall obey them." That means that they'll conquer and have peace all around Israel. Now, verse 15. "The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With his mighty wind, he will shake his fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams and make men cross over dry shod." Or another version, it says sandals. "He shall make, you know, sandals walk over there like dry land. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel in the day that he came up from the land of Egypt." Now, this makes me understand that the Red Sea will dry up, no longer having the separation between Egypt and Sudan with Saudi Arabia. It will be possible that all of that land, all the Red Sea, is going to dry up. Or it could just, I'm pretty sure, well, in all honesty, I believe that all of the Red Sea might just dry up. Maybe now, maybe just little streams here and there. But what I imagine is that almost completely 100% of the Red Sea will dry up. But why? Why is that going to happen? Because they will make the journey from different countries to Jerusalem, Israel. It will make the journey easier for the people of Israel to go back to the promised land. And I imagine they're going to come from far, from millions, probably even millions of Jews from different nations. But is there another reason why the Lord will make the sea dry up? I believe there is one. And it's because in those days, all the nations will have to go up to Israel to worship. Now we see in Psalm 72, verse 8 to 11, it says, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the Isles will bring presents. The king of Sheba and Seba will offer gift." Yes, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. So this psalm is not referring to the King Solomon, but it's a messianic text, and it's referring to the reign of Jesus Christ. And it tells us that all the nations are going to come before him, and they're going to bring him gifts, and all the nations are going to serve him. Even at verse 15 of this psalm, it also tells us that every day they will be blessing his name and they will be blessing him. Now, I have to also mention before I forget that in those times, there will also be peace among all the other nations, and nations will no longer rise against nations, and people will come to learn the ways of the Lord, and the earth will have the knowledge of God. You see, in Micah 4, verse 1-2, it says, "Now it shall come to the pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths.' For out of Zion the law shall go forth, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." In Isaiah 11:9, it also says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and as the waters cover the sea." Now, we know what those days will be like, but how would it be to actually live in the millennium? And that's a pretty good question to ask. First, we have to understand that even though Satan is no longer loose and Christ is reigning, there will still be people who disobey. In Zechariah 14, verse 16-19, it says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. And the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nation who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacle. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." Now, this tells me that even though Jesus Christ will be reigning, there will be people who will not be happy with his reign. And in Micah 4:3, it says, "He shall judge between many peoples and rebuke strong nations afar off. They shall beat their sword into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." You see, that makes me understand that it's not talking about just maybe a few little nations, but it's talking about really big nations. So it's possible that even after the Great Tribulation, there's still going to be big nations left. And we see here that they're going to remove all military training or war training, in other words. But I like to imagine that maybe there will be a few who will not be happy with the reign of Christ because he's going to reign with a strong hand. And they're going to maybe try to plot something, maybe try to find a way to go up against them. This is just me speculating, of course. Well, that's just me speculating, so that's a possibility. Now, they also made me understand that people were still sinning those days. Some may ask, how is that possible if sinning is bound up for these 1,000 years? But the thing we forget is that Satan is able to tempt us, but he cannot force us to do anything. Even the word says that the heart of the man always goes towards the bad. So that means that we are more prone to sin because of our own free will. Because you see, the word of God on that day is going to be leaving from Jerusalem, from the holy mountain. And now those who do not listen, they will be in disobedience. And now if we go back to the start of creation with Adam and Eve, the way that Adam and Eve sinned was because they were disobedient to the word of God. to the word of God that when he told them not to eat from the fruit of good and evil, they did not listen and were disobedient. And because they were disobedient, that was their sin, because they were disobedient. In the same way, I imagine that in this day, it's possible that in those days, that when the law comes out from Jerusalem, people are not going to listen. And when they don't listen, that means they're being disobedient and they're sinning against God. The only difference is that, well, Jesus Christ will make judgment swift and strong on them. Now, what else does the Bible tell us that it will be like to live in that time? Well, it's such a wonderful thing that in those days, people will live much longer than they do today. Not only that, but you see people who are going to have babies in those days. Like, what do I mean? You might be thinking. Well, you see, in Isaiah 65:20, it says, "No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed." This not only tells me that there will be sinners and sin, but that babies will be born in those days and the elderly will live a long time. I like to imagine that will be like the years in the beginning where people live like 300 to 700 or even 900 years. I really can't tell you how long people are going to live, but it just says that they're going to fulfill their days. Now, in the same chapter, verse 21 to 25, it says, "They shall build houses and inhabit them. Thou shalt plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble. For they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and thus shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all of my holy mountains, says the Lord, nor destroy in all my holy mountains, says the Lord." Oh, I guess I might have recopied that twice. Sorry about that. Now, in Isaiah 11, 6-8, it says, "The wolf also shall dwell in the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fawling together. And little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. The young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den." In other words, the peace will be so great that it will extend to the animal kingdom as well. There will no longer be a situation where animals kill children or where animals kill each other. It will be a better and safer time for people to have children. Now, one of the great things about the scripture that we just read is that up there in verse 24, it says, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer." So before we even need anything, and before we try to call out to God, he will already give us an answer of what we need. "And while they're still speaking, I will hear." So I like to think that in those days, God will take care of us in such a great way that before we even able to tell him what is wrong or what we need, he will already give it to us. But in reality, I wouldn't know what to tell you. Like, what will we need if Christ already gave us peace, happiness, and joy? I guess we just have to go and be there on those days to find out. Now, we have seen that in the millennium, Christ will reign. There will be nations. There will be sinners and punishment for them. There will be children and upbringing. Everyone will know about God. People will live many years. There will be people constructing stuff, and only the people who build will live in those places. And everything, in fact, sounds very beautiful, and I can't wait to be there. But we have to ask, what will happen to those who died for sin, who died because of sin, and who are in hell? Well, in Revelation 25, it says, But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. That is, the first resurrection. Now, the words do not say that they will not return to live in the millennium, but it makes me understand that they will remain in hell until after the 1,000 years. And you're like, okay, so what about us? Well, you see, in the next verse, it says, blessed and holy is he who is part in the first resurrection. That's talking about those who have died in this world waiting for Christ. And those of us who will be transformed. It's talking about basically when Jesus comes and takes us. Or the rapture when we are transformed. That is the first resurrection. Okay, let's keep reading. Over such, the second death has no power, but there will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. So we're right there. Not only where the Jews will be there, the chosen people of God, but also all the people who died for Christ during the Great Tribulation, but also all of us who will be taken up by the rapture. Everybody will be there, including us. Now, I'm not going to go into too much details about what the first resurrection and the second death means, because we're going to go over all of that the next episode. So don't worry about that for now. Now, 1,000 years have passed since Jesus Christ returned. What will happen next? Well, for that, we go to Revelation, and we're going to read from chapter 20, verse 7 to 10, and it says, now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is the sand of the sea. After 1,000 years in prison, I imagine that he would not be happy at all. But Satan will come out to destroy Jerusalem once and for all. And I imagine that all the nations that have not been happy with the reign of Christ will all unite when Satan comes to them and tricks them. Now we read verse 9. They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. In one of the verses, it says that it's such a big multitude that it's like the grains of sand. Now, if you go to the beach, pick up some sand and try to count every single grain of sand, it's near impossible. So I imagine that the generations and generations of people who lived during the millennium, who were not happy with the reign of Christ, probably generation and generation will all rise together with Satan to go and try to destroy Jerusalem once and for all. But as we see, there will be no battle. There will be no war strategies. There will be no way of like longing a war. Nope. Right here it says that fire came down from God out of heaven and just devoured them. I imagine the fire would just come instantly when they're all around us and just, boom, evaporated, burned up in a moment. Now, let's read verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. This is the moment where Satan is finally thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the false prophet and the Antichrist will be already by that point of time. And this is the time and the place where he will no longer rise up against humanity. He will no longer be able to escape from this place. And all of those who have risen up against God and his beloved city have been destroyed. And I imagine they go straight to hell. Or immediately right after, like the Bible says, something else happens. Immediately after the 1,000 years, the judgment before the great white throne begins. And this is where we leave it for today. As always, there's so much to learn from the Word of God, but we review little by little to be able to meditate on what we have learned. The next episode is episode number 9, and we're going to learn about the judgment before the Great White Throne. Now, if you want to contact me, you can send me an email to expandyourmind2022@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook in the account that has the same logo as this program. We are in different places like YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, and iHeartRadio. You can see all the places to listen to on our Facebook page called Expanding Your Mind. I also want to remind you that these same episodes are in the Spanish in case you want to share it with someone who does not know English very well. The Spanish program called Abriendo el Entendimiento and can be found in the same directories as this program is the same logo, but basically Spanish words. In the Word of God, it says that His people were destroyed because they lacked knowledge. It is good to learn so that on the day of trial, we do not fail. And as always, it's our duty to study the scriptures. And for that reason, we receive all the good and discard all the bad in the name of Jesus. Now, let us pray to be able to finish this episode for today. Blessed God of glory, I come to thank you for your great mercy and for what you have taught us today. May this word remain in the hearts of every person who has heard it. Thank you, Lord, for letting them see a little of what awaits us in the future when you come to reign here on earth. Help us every day, Lord, to be ready for your coming so that we can be with you for all of eternity. I give this episode in your hands, Lord. Do what you want to do in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, my brothers and sisters, and to all my friends who are listening, may God bless you greatly. My name is Samuel Cedillos, and you are listening to Expanding Your Mind with the Word of God. And to God be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.